I've told somebody the other day I've about had enough of this cold weather, but we got to remember that who's in charge, and he knows what's best for us, and definitely got to be a reason for it. And so all we can do is thank him and appreciate what he has given us. Do we have any prayer requests this morning before we get into our service? I asked you to remember Miss Avondale. She had fell and broke something in her back, and she's in a brace, and they're doctor's telling her she's got to wear that brace pretty much from here on out, and she's down. So y'all pray. Y'all be much in prayer for her. She stands in need of our prayer, and she asks that we remember her and her daughter as she looks after her. And I promise you she would be here this morning if she wasn't in that condition. She is upset that she's going to have to miss. So y'all truly remember her when you pray. Any others? Okay, remember that. Okay. Amen. Any others? Remember our church as we go forward in this new year, looking forward to what the Lord's going to do. And it's exciting. I remember also, I know I'll usually announce this at the end, but I want you to be much in prayer for a study we're going to start tonight of experiencing God. And I've read over it a little bit, and it's just amazing how God lays things on our heart at the appropriate time of what our church needs. It's if you've been through experiencing God, you know a little bit about what it's about, but it's definitely right on time for what we're going into as a church with our building project and everything. So I ask you to be much in prayer for that study. If you can, be here. We'll start that study at 5 o'clock. Tonight will be like an introduction because some people still don't have their books I've talked to that's got them ordered. So we won't leave you out. We won't run ahead, but we'll go ahead and do the introduction tonight and try to get started. We're borrowing some DVDs from another church that has them. We have some tapes, but we're missing one tape. So if you happen to see a Experiencing God number 4 tape, we need it. But we got some DVDs I'm going to borrow from Ramburn this afternoon. So remember us as we go into that study. Anything else? Nothing else? We'll go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come thanking you for this day. Father, we thank you for your many blessings. God, we just thank you for the day you've given us, Lord. It's a gift. Each day you allow us to live is a gift from you. And God, we thank you for that. And God, we bring these as sick, Father, and these as having surgeries and different things before you. And God, we pray that your will be done in each situation. Father, we pray that you heal them back to the much-wanted health. And Lord, if it's not your will that you heal them, Father, just comfort them. Lord, be there with them. Let them ever know that you're right beside them. Lord, I pray for our church as we enter into 2018. I pray this year is not just a year that we enjoy coming to church. It's not just a year that we enjoy each other. But, Father, I pray it's a year that we make a difference for your kingdom. I pray, Father, that you grow us spiritually. I pray you grow us in number if it be your will. And God, all these blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand and join us in our call to worship.
Walking the same old road for miles and miles. You've been hearing the same old voice tell the same old lies. If you're trying to feel the same old holes inside, there's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. Lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead. pressed up against the wall, with the weight of my worries stacked up tall, we're strong enough to hold it all.
Morning again. Amen. Looking forward to this message today. I was in our Wednesday night class, I think about 2 weeks ago, and Terry was teaching us on a message about Job, and this verse stuck out to me, and I began studying on it, began thinking on it, and the Lord began using it, and I think it's a perfect scripture for us to understand starting into a brand new year. As a brand new year, we have all kind of things that we've set out to do. You talk to people, and they're, some of them's going to lose some weight, some's going to gain some weight, some's going to change the way they do things this way and that way. And I read something someone had posted. I think it was from A.W. Tozier this week on Facebook, or maybe it was week before, that said, if we go to church, we're not changed, then we pretty much just have religion. We don't have anything happen. And my prayer is this year, as I know we preached about it last year, but that God continues to change us. And I began thinking about, when will people be changed? When are we truly changed? And if you begin looking at the book of Job, Job was a perfect man, the Bible says, was an upright man. I believe he was as close to God as a man could be at times of his life, and we know that God used Job for his will. We know he used him for his glory. And as looking at that, I simply have got a message for you today and a question for you. Can you see him? Can you see him? In Job chapter number 42, I'm going to read verses 1 through 10. Read verses 1 through 10 of chapter number 42 of Job says, "Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou can do everything and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered and understand not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak, and I will demand of thee, and declare thereunto me." And I love this verse number 5 is where my message begins coming from. Verse number 5 says, "I have heard of thee by hearing of the ear, but now mine eye..." Now listen to this. "But now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I harbor myself and repent in dust and ashes." And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, "My wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for you have not spoken of me the thing that is right as my servant Job hath. Therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you, and for him will I accept. Lest I deal with you after your folly, and that you have not spoken to me the thing which is right, like my servant Job." So if Eliphaz the Temanite and Bildad the Shuhite and Zophar the Namathite went and did according as the Lord commanded them, and the Lord also accepted Job. Listen to this verse 10. "And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before." Father, we come again. Thank you for this day you've given us. Father, we thank you for your this time you've allowed us to come and just to get everything out of our minds, God, and put our minds on you for just a little bit. Father, I pray that you let us see at the end of this that Job truly got to a point in his life where he saw you. And God, it's my prayer today for our congregation and for myself and for each one of us in this building that we can leave here with a better perspective of who you are. God, I pray that you change us this year, Lord, that you draw us closer to you. These blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As you'll see here in the book of Job, or if you've ever studied a little bit about it, you'll know that he was a man that suffered things that we don't think he should have suffered for. When you go to the first chapter of Job, he begins telling about where God and all the spiritual beings was having a meeting. And God says, "Have you considered my servant Job?" That's what he says to Satan. And I know we've all heard it preached and talked about and then said, "Well, wouldn't you like to be to the point Job was where God could say, have you considered my servant so-and-so?" But let me tell you something, that'd be a dangerous place to be, wouldn't it? It would be a place I desire to be, but you've got to get to that point in your life where you're willing to get there. You've got to be willing to see what it might take to get there. And bless his heart, Job went through some terrible things. Can you imagine losing everything you had? I'm talking about every single material thing you had would be bad enough, but Job lost his children. And Job was to a point of where his body was even touched. And Job was in such a way that you can't even imagine. I know we have many sicknesses today, but the Bible says that Job's body was broke out in these terrible boils and all this stuff, and he was in a bad way. So we don't understand in our human minds why God would take Job through that and why God takes many people through things today. But one thing I have saw as I begin studying this lesson is the most important thing to God for us is that we truly have the right perspective of him. We truly begin seeing who God is. And it taken Job all through these chapters to get to chapter 42 where Job really understood truly who God was. And he saw who he was because of some things he began realizing about God. And I began thinking about my own life today, and I began thinking about how we live and everything that goes on and different things. And I come up with about 3 or 4 things I want you to see is how we really get to understand who God is. And we really get to understand him. And Job said something, that verse, that really caught my attention. He says, "I've heard of thee by hearing of the ear." I've heard of thee. Now, ever since I've been in church or a little boy going to Bible school or Sunday school, I had heard of God. You could hear of God on TV. You could hear of God in many other places. You go to a ball game, you can even hear about God. Or you go to anywhere you want to go, you may hear things about God. They usually have some preacher that prays, or they'll have somebody do something. So we're all surrounded in our country. We hear about God from the time we're young to the time we're old. But how many times in people's life truly have they ever seen God? I'm not talking about with physical eyes, because we know the Bible teaches that no man's ever saw him and lived. You can't. His glory is too great. But I'm talking about with a spiritual eye, how many people have truly seen God? And Job was a man who got to this point that he truly was able to see God. And the first reason he was able to see him, because he was brought into a right perspective. A right perspective. You look up the word perspective, and it simply means a particular attitude toward or way of regarding something, or simply a point of view. Simply a point of view. Now today, let me ask you a question. How is your point of view of God? Who do you see God as being? Do you see him as much of the world does today, that he's this being sitting up there, that he's judging me and you, he's ready just to zap us at any time, and he'll just accept anything? Is that your point of view of him today? Well, if it is, let me tell you something, you're in a bad way. You're wrong, because Job saw something in verse number 1. Listen what he says about God in chapter number 42, verse number 1. I'm sorry, verse number 2, he says, I know that can do everything. You know why he was able to say that? Because he had gotten the right perspective of God. If you have any other perspective of God, of the realizing that he is a God over everything, and that his way is right, then you need to back up and you need to start over. Because God has got to be the number one priority in our life. And the way we get to that point is having the right perspective or the right point of view about who God is. I think we have taken this in our nation and even in our churches, and we have dulled it down to believing that he's at my every beck and call, that all I gotta do is call upon him. And listen, all those things is true. God is there for me and he's ready for me. But listen, we must understand that this God created all things, and he does love all people, but he's also a God of wrath. He is a God that will not accept sin. He cannot be around sin. And if you have sin in you, and by the way, if you have not been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, let me tell you something, you have sin in you. There's none of us that have not sinned. There's none of us that have not come short of the glory of God. So if you stand before God, you've got to be perfect. And the only way you can be perfect is through the blood of Jesus Christ. But Job got a right perspective or a right point of view about who God is. And we see that. And how did he get there? How do you get a right perspective of who God is? And I began thinking about this as I listen to different preachers and I read after different preachers. And boy, there's some great ones out there. We got some great preachers even inside our own county or inside Alabama or in the South. We have great preachers, but may I tell you something? There's not ever been a preacher, even Billy Graham, that can give you the right perspective about who God is. You know how you get a right perspective about God? Through by God himself and by his word. Listen, he begins telling Job, and I'm not going to apologize for all this reading I'm about to do, because it's the word of God, and I can come in all I want to, but I cannot speak like the word of God can speak. So I'm going to read to you chapter number 38, and I want you to listen about how Job got the right perspective. The guys are probably not going to put it up on the board because it's a bunch of verses and they want to throw me out here. But listen, I want you to take your Bible in Job chapter 38 and begin reading with me and understand how Job got a proper perspective of God. It says, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkened the counsel by words without knowledge? I got to stop right here already. You realize where he answered Job out of? A whirlwind is a storm. A whirlwind is a storm. Boy, we have storms in our life. Rudy, you know the first thing I do? I begin whining. I begin complaining. And God uses storms many times in Scripture to speak. And that one's free. I'll move on. Who is he that darketh counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee an answer thou me. Boy, that's tough when God asks you for an answer, ain't it? Where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched a line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Or who shut up the sea with doors when it brake forth as it had issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud and the garment thereof, and the thick darkness a swaddling band for it, and brake up for it my decreed place, and set bars and doors. And he said, hereto shalt thou come, but no further, and here shall thy proud waves be stayed. Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days, and caused the dayspring to know his place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth, that the wicked might be shaken out of it? It is turned as clay to the seal, and they stand as a garment. And from the wicked their light is withholden, and the high arm shall be broken. Hast thou entered into the springs of the sea, or hast thou walked in the search of the depth? Have the gates of the death been opened unto thee, or hast thou seen the doors of the shadow of death? Hast thou perceived the breadth of the earth? Declare if thou knowest of it all. Where is the way where light dwelleth? And as for darkness, where is the place thereof? That thou shouldest take it to the bound thereof, and thou shouldest know the paths to the house thereof, knowest thou because thou wast then born, or because the number of thy days is great? Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow, or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail, which I have reserved against the time of trouble, against the day of battle and war? By what way is the light parted which scattereth the east wind upon the earth? Who hath divided a water course for the overflowing of waters, or a way for the lightning of thunder, to cause it to rain on the earth where no man is, on the wilderness wherein there is no man, to satisfy the desolate and the waste ground, and to cause the bud of the tender herb to spring forth? Hath the rain a father? Who hath begotten the drops of dew? Out of whose womb came the ice and the hoary frost of heaven? Who hath gendered it? The waters are hid as with a stone, and the face of the deep is frozen. Canst thou bind the sweet influence of the Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion? Canst thou bring the Masrith in his season, or canst thou guide Arcturus with his sons? Knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? Canst thou set the dominion thereof in the earth? Canst thou lift up thy voice to the clouds, that abundance of waters may cover thee? Canst thou send lightnings, that they may go and say unto thee, Here we are? Who hath put wisdom in the inward parts? Who hath given understanding to the heart? Who can number the clouds in wisdom, or who can stay the bottles of heaven? When the dust groweth into hardness, and the clods cleave fast together, will thou hunt for the prey for the lion, and fill the appetite of the young lions? When they couch in their dens, and abide in the covert to lie in wait? Who provideth for the raven his food, when his young ones cry unto God, for God they wonder of lack of meat? Knowest thou the time when the wild goats of the rock bring forth? Can thou mark when the hinds do calve? Canst thou number the months that they fulfill? Or knowest the time when they bring forth? They by themselves, they bring forth their young ones, they cast out their sorrows. Their young ones are in good liking, they grow up with corn, they go forth and return not unto them. Who hath sent out the wild ass free, or who hath loosed the bands of the wild ass? Whose house have I made with wilderness, and the barren land his dwellings? He scorneth the multitude of the city, and disregardeth the crying of the driver. The range of the mountains is his pasture, and he searcheth after every green thing. Will the unicorn be willing to serve thee, or abide at by thy crib? Canst thou bind the unicorn with his band in the furrow, or will the harrow of the valleys after thee? Will thou trust him because his strength is great, or will thou leave thy labor to him? Will thou believe him that he will bring home thy seed and gather it into thy barn? Gavest thou the goodly wings unto the peacocks, or wings and feathers unto the ostrich? Boy, it's a bunch of questions, ain't it? Which leaveth her eggs in the earth and warmeth them in dust, and forgotteth that the foot may crush them and the wild beast may break them. She is hardened against her young ones as though they were not hers. Her labor is in vain without fear, because God hath deprived her of wisdom, neither hath he imparted to her understanding. What time she lifted up herself on high, she scorneth the horse and his rider. Hast thou given the horse strength? Hath thou clothed his neck with thunder? Canst thou make him afraid as a grasshopper? The glory of his nostrils is terrible. He paweth in the valley and rejoiceth in his strength. He goeth on to meet the armed men. He mocketh out of fear, and he is not affrighted, neither turneth back from the sword. The quiver rattleth against him, and glittering spear in the shield. He swatheth the ground with fierceness of rage. Neither believeth that he is the sound of the trumpet. He saith among trumpets, Ha ha! And he smelleth the battle afar off, and the thunder of the captains and the shouting. Doth the hawk fly by thy wisdom, and stretch her wings toward the south? Doth the eagle mount up at thy command, and make her nest on high? She dwelleth and abideth on the rock, and upon the crag of the rock, in the strong place. From thence she seeketh the prey, and her eyes behold afar off. Her young ones also suck up blood where the slain are, and there is she. It's a bunch of questions that God is asking Job. Where was you? Where was you when I made the sea? Where was you when I set it where it is? You see on TV that they're all excited about global warming, and I'd love to talk to them right now about global warming. It snowed in Tallahassee, Florida. I want you to think about that for a minute. But listen, all these things that God asked Job, where was you? How many times in your life, if you'll be honest with me, have you tried to tell God how to do something? Have you tried to tell God of why you don't need this, or why you need that, or why this should be, or how that should be, or all these things? And then God is sitting there asking you the same question he asked Job. Well, brother, where was you at when I made the sea? Where was you at when I caused light to be? Where was you at when these things? Do you understand how a raven feeds her young? Do you understand how an eagle does what they do? Do you understand any of these things? And Job come to a point where he said, God, I don't understand, because these things are too wonderful for me to understand. And you see, Job got the right perspective about who God is, because God told Job that, buddy, you ain't anything without me. I created you, I made you, I made all the earth, I made everything in it, and without me, you are nothing. And listen, church, until we get the right perspective of God, we will not change. Until we understand who God is and who we are, we will not change. So number one, we must get a right perspective about who God is, and it only comes through God's word. I can't tell you what happens. Listen, all these other men was trying to tell Job about who God was. And Job didn't understand who God was until God spoke and told him who he was. And I can say a million words up here today, but you'll leave unchanged unless God speaks to your heart. Amen. God speaks to your heart. And preachers, and we try to do our best, and we come in on the Word of God, and we try to put our 2 cents in it. And bless God, I believe most of the time we'd be better if we got up here and just read the Word of God. This thing is sufficient. It don't need me to add to it. It don't need Billy Graham to add to it. The Almighty God pinned it down, and it is enough. And it changes not. It never changes. We must get a right perspective. And when we get a right perspective of who God is, then we'll get in a right position. Look at what Job did in chapter 42. Listen where Job found himself. Verse 5, he says, I heard of thy by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself. You look up the word abhor in the original Greek and Hebrew, it means he detested himself. He hated himself. He saw something, that he was a wretched man, that he was no good. He said, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. And you know what happened in that day when you repented in dust and ashes? You got on your face before God. You took ashes and you dumped them on your head, or you took dirt on your head and you laid down before God on your face and you cried out before him. Now, I want to tell you something. When you realize who God is and you realize who you are, this is the only position you can take. You can fuss with me all day long. You say, preacher, we don't have to get out of our seats to repent. Bless God, you're making the Word of God a liar then, because everybody that ever repented, they got on their face before God and they cried out and covered themselves with sackcloth and ashes. I think the problem we have today, most of us, is we've never got a right perspective of God, and that's why we're not in the right position with God. You can say amen. Amen. Listen, when you get a right perspective of God, all you can do is fall on your face and say, God, forgive me. Because there's not a one of us in here that's good enough to be where we're at. I'm the least. I should not even be able to stand up here. You know why I can? It's by the grace of God. It's by His forgiveness is the reason any preacher can stand. But reading this week and studying this week, I started getting me a perspective of God. You know what I found out? There's not much to me. That's why God made me so short, so I can look in the mirror and see there's not much to me. Listen, spiritually speaking, there's not much to us. There's not much to us when we see who God is and we see who I am. And boy, the days I try to tell God how to do His job. Y'all ever have days like that? You get up and boy, you think it's all about me this morning. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. God, why have you done this? We ought to get up and say, God, thank you for the breath of life. Or get up and say, God, thank you for a job. God, thank you for my family. God, thank you for creating the light and creating all these things. And God, I just thank you for it. And the reason we don't is because we hadn't got a right perspective. The reason we're not in the right position. Job abhorred himself, detested himself. He realized where he was. He realized who was speaking. He realized who he was measured against. Listen, you don't measure yourself against anybody on this earth. Because I promise you, if you knew the inward parts of their life, if you knew the hidden parts of their life, we're all dirty. We're all dirty before God. We've all got our sin. We've all got our failures. And you know what? It's so much easier to see yours than it is mine. It's so much easier for you to see mine than it is yours. But when we begin measuring up as these scriptures did, and measuring Job up against a holy God, Job saw something. He said, brother, the only thing I can do is get on my face and ask for forgiveness. He said, I've uttered things I don't understand. And I thought about all the times that I've stood up here and preached, and I thought I knew what I was talking about, Terry, but I don't understand this word. It's too wonderful for me. I can't comprehend it. I can just comprehend a very little bit of it. I don't understand the word grace even. It's too wonderful for me. But bless God, He bestowed it upon all of us. Amen. He saw a right perspective. He got in the right position. And it brought forth a right prayer. Chapter number 42, verse 10. Listen, it says, the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he said, what did he do? When he prayed for his friends. Boy, we talk a lot about prayer, don't we? We talk a lot about prayer, and we talk about getting in our closet and And we remember watching the movie War Room, and boy, it was a great movie, and I think we all should have a war room. But listen, according to this scripture, what's most important to God when we come into that war room is getting on our face before God and praying for our people, ain't it? Praying for others, praying for God to touch our nation and God to touch one another, and that God may reach down and touch those, because listen, his friends had said things against him. His friends thought that Job was the reason that God had brought this folly upon him. His friends thought that Job was the reason that all these bad things had come. Surely he must have had some sin in his life. Surely they didn't understand. You listen, they've done exactly what preachers do every single day. We stand up here and try to tell people about what God thinks and what God does, and we simply preach God word, and then we can be right. Do you realize that? His friends that came to try to help him gave him wrong counsel. Why? Because they was men. They were sinful men. They didn't understand the ways of God. They didn't understand the things of God. And just as men do not today. That's why people, and I'm not against going to counselors, by the way, they are in need for them. I'm not against going to people for help. That God gave doctors ability to help. Even in mental situations, you need to take advantage of it. God's given. I'm not saying stay at home and suffer. I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is, if you want to take some counsel, you get into the Word of God. And that is the right counsel, because I promise you, all other men have opinions. You can get five preachers together, you can get five pastors or bandits together, and you can ask them what they think about this matter, and every single one of them is going to have an opinion. But you want to know the truth, you get down the Word of God, brother, and that is the truth. You cannot argue with it. It's the truth. He prayed for his friends. Why in the world, of all these things Job had been through, of all these things, why do you think that was the one that mattered? Why do you think God required him to do that for him to be brought back? Because you're about to see that God completely restores Job. He takes the captivity off of Job after he prayed for his friends. Listen, church, is number one is God. The Bible, I preached this last week. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and body. But what's the second commandment? Love your neighbors, yourself. And the reason that we're missing the mark in our churches, the reason we're missing it in our world, is because people don't have others as their number one interest. You should have God number one interest. Others should be your second interest. They should be the ones that when you go to pray, it shouldn't be a list of what you want and what you need. And those things, and listen, it should be when you come to pray, you should pray for those friends. And you know what else you see in this scripture? If there ever was a man who had a reason to hold a grudge against somebody, then Job was it. Job had not done anything wrong as a human being, as close as he could be. Yes, he sinned because he was human. But I mean, the Bible says he was perfect. He was close as he could be in a human flesh. But listen, he done this, and his friends came and said, surely there must be something against you. God told Job, he said, you must pray for them, and he meant that you must forgive them. When you come to pray, you must completely forgive those. Job would have never been restored if he had kept folly in his heart against them friends. How easy would it have been to Job to go to him and say, I have nothing else to do with you. You come to me in my hard time. You wasn't there for me. You told me a lie. You wouldn't what you should have been for me. It would have been better if you just had been quiet. God had mercy upon these three friends. God realized that they was humans and they made a mistake. He told Job, he said, you must pray for these men. But I like, if you back up a little bit, that God up here, I think it's in verse number 7, it said, the Lord said to Eliphaz and to Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for you have not spoken to me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath. He says, take unto you now 7 bullocks, 7 rams, and go to my servant Job and offer for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you. You know what? God had already saw this man Job's heart, hadn't he? He didn't wonder if Job would pray for him. He told him, he said, if you'll take the sacrifices and you'll go to Job, I know something, Job will pray for you. I'll tell you something, church. If God sends you to somebody, you go. He knows what's on the other side. He wasn't worried about Job turning those men out and saying, I'm not praying for them. He knew Job was a man of God. He knew Job would do what was right. Now, what does God know about you today? What does God know about you? What's a tough question, ain't it? You see, when we get in the right perspective, a right point of view of God, it'll put us in a right position, which is on our faces before God. It'll have a right prayer in our heart. You know what else it'll do? It'll put us in a right place. After Job prayed for his friends, Let me read to you what happened. The Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters and all that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house, and they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. And every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she-asses. Now, I started to make a joke right here. How blessed he was, because I've only got one. Y'all catch that in a minute.
You'll catch it in a minute.
He restored Job twice as much as he had before. Why? Because Job got a right perspective. He got a right position. He had a right prayer. God placed him in the right place. You ask people today, even in our churches, where do you desire to be? They'll tell you, I want to be in the place that God has for me. I want to be in the place that God has for me. Whether that mean the right church, I want to be in the right position in the church, I want to be in the right community, I want to be in the right town, I want to be exactly where God wants me to be. And oh, if I could just find out how to do that, if I could just find out how to make sure how that's going to happen. Listen, it's simple. Look at the life of Job. Get you a right perspective, get you a right position, get you a right prayer, and God will put you in a right place. That was the place that Job belonged. Did Job deserve it? No. Job deserved to be destroyed. But God had grace. God had mercy. We all desire to be the place that God wants us. But do we want to go through what Job did to get there? And I answered this on my outline as honest as I could. No. I don't want to lose my stuff. I don't want to lose my family. So is it possible for me to be there without going through these things? Yes, it is. You know why? Because me and you live at a time of a dispensation of grace. God's grace come upon the scene when Jesus Christ entered. Grace came. Boy, what amazing grace it is that he gave us something we didn't deserve. He gives me an opportunity every single day to go to his word. Job didn't have a complete word of God. Job didn't have it as me and you, but listen, I can go back today and I can see something. Every single day I wake up, if I want to, I can go to the book of Job. And I can look and see what it took for God to get that man's attention. And Terry, as I was studying this week, I prayed, God, please don't let it take you getting me to that point before I get a right perspective of who you are. And everywhere I have looked this week, everything I have seen, everything I have heard about 2018, everything I have read about, everything that comes across my email or everything at work, everything has been about a right perspective, a right point of view. I was driving to get breakfast one morning in Tallapoosa. I had J933 on. The lady on the radio, she said, I think my word for 2018 is perspective. I said, huh. She said, I think perspective holds more weight in a Christian's life than we ever realize when getting that right point of view of God, that right view of who he is. Church, if there's ever been a time in our communities, ever been a time in our land when we need a right point of view of God, it's today. We're being taught that wrong's right and right's wrong, and bless God, we don't even seem to know which way to go sometimes, even as churches. May I tell you, when you get that right perspective of who God is, and you truly begin wondering where he wants you, God will let this thing be known. You begin understanding. If you can just get in your heart, Job chapter 42, verse number 2, the first line of that verse, the first sentence, I know thou canst do everything. God, I know there's nothing you can't do. Anything you want to do, God, you can do it. God, you can speak and I can live. God, you can speak and I'll die. God, you can speak and I'm blessed. You can speak and this is taken away or that's taken away. And by the way, also, let me tell you something. Job learned a thing in his life. Yes, God restored him all that money. God restored him all them things. God even restored the children. And by if his other children was in heaven, I think they are. He blessed him with that. He blessed him with new children and all these things. You just can't go on and on about what it is. But I believe today if you could talk to Job and say, Job, what was the best thing that ever happened in your life? He said it was a time that God showed me himself through a right perspective. And it came through a terrible storm of life. I told you to listen about where Job said in that chapter 42. It said, actually it was chapter 38. It said God spoke to Job in a whirlwind.
in the midst of a storm, a tornado, if you will, God spoke to him. How many of us in here today is going through a storm in our lives? We're going through a storm. I'm talking about, you say, preacher, you don't understand what I'm going through. And you know what? You're exactly right. I don't understand it. I don't understand why God's taking you through it and any of this, although I can read the book of Job and realize something, that his main concern for your life, number one, is that you're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Number two is that you have a right perspective of him, that things are in the right order. You see, the gods of today is the gods of ourselves. We work all this work. People work 7 days a week now. Some of them are required to. I'm not against. If you got a job, you got to do what the boss says, is bottom line of it. But you know the reason we get to these positions? Because we worried about more and more stuff so I can bless me and me and me more. Because I deserve it. You want to know what you deserve? You deserve to be on your face in sackcloth and ashes, as Job did, crying out to an almighty God and asking him to keep you out of a place called hell. It's what you deserve. That's the only thing you deserve. And God will give you that. He will grant you that opportunity to come to him. But church, my prayer in 2018 is this message. I preached about joy last week. Jesus, others, and yourself. I thought about how in the world you're going to make something out of Job. And boy, it just got so plain. It's the same thing. You take the word Job, Jesus, others, blessed. When Job got that perspective right, he was blessed. Church, I'm not prosperity preaching today, telling you that if you do all these things and you get the right perspective of God, that he will restore all these things unto you and give you money as he did Job and restore all your businesses if you had one time. I know a man, y'all have heard me talk about him, was worth $18 million at one point, and today he's not. Today he pastors a church. Today he works a job, and he don't have near that kind of money. Do you know what? He will tell you the day he is in a perfect place because he believes that a place God have him to be. He has no hard feelings towards God for what he went through. None of this stuff. I pray that we get a right perspective. And I pray we obey in a right position on our face before him. There's never been a time that we need to be praying more as we enter this brand new year. I don't know why, but I'm just excited about this year. I think it's because you get older and you realize that everyone's a blessing. Every year that passes by was a gift that God gave you. And you're not guaranteed, and that time goes so fast. And it's passing by so quickly, and in that minute, that second I just said that, will never come again. It's forever gone. It's forever in history. It's ever passing. What are we going to do with it? My prayer for our church in 2018, that we'll get to a point that we can see him. That we can see him. Job said, I have heard of you for years. I've heard of him. Boy, I've been in churches. I've read sermons. I've listened to sermons. I've been to Bible colleges, and I've heard of him and this and that. But listen, if I'll take time and get in his word, guess what? I'll start seeing him. Boy, what a blessing that is to see God. To see him. We're going to come with a verse of invitation. It's going to be brief because we got to get into communion. As everyone would, please stand. You see, 2018 is a brand new start. A brand new year. You get a do-over. I remember whenever we as kids playing out in the yard, I had a cousin who didn't like to lose. The minute he started losing, he said, we need a do-over. We get a do-over. Actually, we get a do-over every day. Every day is brand new. We got a brand new year. And God is wanting you to see something this year that you've never seen before. He's wanting you to see him. It can't come from my words. It can't come from any evangelist I can get in here. It can't come from any evangelist you can even put on the radio or the TV. If you see God, it'll come through the words of God. It'll come through him speaking to you as he spoke to Job. Think how blessed you are. You said, well, he came to Job out of a whirlwind and audibly spoke to Job. And yes, he did. He did that. But listen, what more blessed we are. We've got 66 books of his word available to us continuously. I can go to it on a daily basis, and I can read it. Will you see God this year as we sing?
Come join me in the altar as we sing this song, as our song of repentance before we do the Lord's Prayer.
Amen.